All right, so now we're talking about the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever seen this before? That God is my co-pilot. I've seen that. I've seen that in, sometimes it's pretty interesting because I'm like, okay, so who's flying the plane? Who's flying the plane? Let's look at another one here, right here. It says this, God is my pilot. How many of you believe that? God is my pilot. God is my pilot. See, there are two ways to look at life. You can look at it one or two ways. God is my co-pilot or God is my pilot. See, here's the reality. I believe with all my heart, each and every one of us truly want God to be our pilot. You wouldn't be here on a beautiful day like today if it wasn't for the fact that you wanted God to play a part in your life. Amen? All right? Now, I want to ask you, though, which one are you most represented by? Are you more represented by God as my pilot? In other words, Lord, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to develop me. I want you to teach me. I want you to do all those things. Or are you most represented by, oh, God is my co-pilot? That means I'm flying the plane, and if I get in a tailspin going down, I'll call God. All right? Or, Lord, if my marriage and my life starts falling apart, I'll get a hold of you. You know, that's putting God in a co-pilot position. I believe with all my heart, God wants you to understand that he wants to be the pilot of your life. And now, here's the deal. A lot of times we take this idea of, God, I want you to be the pilot of my life. But, I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to get there with you driving my life. So how do I get there? And I'm telling you right now, it's all about the we. If you want God to steer your life, it's about the we. When I say we, I'm talking about he and I. When I'm talking about he and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit and me. Everybody say the Holy Spirit and me. See, that's what you need to know. If you want God to be the pilot of your life, you need the Holy Spirit. Now, before I even get into this teaching about the Holy Spirit, I want to say this. Number one, I have a tendency with this subject to drive it into a theological ditch, which hopefully I will not do. I've done it 3 times. I've done all right. All right? So that's number one. Number two, I want you to understand this. We all come from different church backgrounds as far as the Holy Spirit. We all do. I know I was born in Louisiana. I was born Catholic. I'm still Catholic. I'm just bad Catholic because I don't go to confession. Being Catholic is like the mafia. You don't get out. There's only one way out. Y'all figure out that later. But I'm not trying to insult. You can be Catholic and saved. My family's Catholic, okay? So, and I love them, and they're saved on their way to heaven, all right? I just happen to not be Catholic, okay? Now, let me just say this. When I was a kid, growing up in a Catholic world, understand this, that the Catholic faith, really, the Holy Spirit kind of gets this. He gets, you know, Fili Espiritu Santo, you make the sign of the cross, which stands for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that really, out of catechism, that's pretty much all you get about the Holy Spirit. That's my remembrance as a kid, okay? Now, progressing a little bit further, as you progress through life, we ended up going to a Baptist church as a teenager, which was a hoot because the Holy Spirit was different there. I ain't lying. You better watch it. Well, the Holy Spirit, first of all, you better never lie to him because you'll die. Blaspheme the Holy Spirit. May God have mercy on your soul. And you better watch it because everywhere your little sinning butt goes, the Holy Spirit is right there to see you. And if you mess up too bad, you better watch out. A train might take you out and you'll have to stand before God. And the Holy Spirit saw it all and you're in trouble. So when I was in a Baptist church, I was like, ooh, keep the Holy Spirit away from me, man. Because there's a whole lot going on over here that we don't want the Holy Spirit to see. Can I get a witness in the house of God? Yeah, right, right. And then a little bit later on, you know, I grew up right across the street from an Assemblies of God, which was hilarious because as I grew up as a teenager, I would ask, you know, what's going on over in that church? They said, I tell you what's going on in that place. They speak in tongues. They're crazy. Stay away from them. I kid you not. I wouldn't even go into that place to go to the potty because I was afraid something would get on me and then I'd start, and it was all bad from there. Kid you not, because you never know, the Holy Spirit boy, he's just unpredictable. And then so that was my teenage life. And then I get to where I'm going to church with Michelle. And, you know, then so we're going to the Methodist church because that's the church she had always been. And they had a different way and form and idea of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit there, it was a little different because the Holy Spirit there got this. He got this. Praise him, all creatures, hear me low. Praise him among the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Wait for it. Amen. Come on, you might know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, all right? And again, I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not making fun. I'm just talking about we all come from different diversities of backgrounds. We all have different ideas as far as the Holy Spirit. And I'll be honest with you. I believe there are two extremes when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit. And I believe there are two ditches on both sides of the road, okay? You'll have one extreme of the Holy Spirit that says, you know, the Holy Spirit is confined to the doxology when we sing it over the offering, and that's about all he's going to get. He's not a part of your everyday life. He's not really a part of you having a relationship with God. He's not a part of anything other than the doxology. And then there's this other side, which is, you know, actually the abuse of the Holy Spirit or the misrepresentation of the Holy Spirit. You know, in my life, I've had the opportunity to pastor some very gifted and unique individuals. We had one lady that came to our church for a while, quite annoying, because she didn't know when to stop. I'll give you an example. Here's what happened. We're having church, and we're singing, "You are stronger, you are stronger." This is the song we sang earlier. We wasn't singing this song back 10 years ago, whatever. "Sin is broken, you have saved us." We're all worshiping God, and right in the middle of the song. So it sounded like this. "You are stronger." What the? Just happened to her. What's wrong with her? What happened? So I'm like, this has to be addressed. And she's at it. I pull her in. I sit her down. I'm like, hey, listen, we need to get on the same page here. I said, here, first of all, first and foremost, okay, you're screaming. Why are you screaming? What is going on? Are you hurt? What is wrong? She's like, well, I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to scream. I'm like, all right, okay, let me explain something to you, all right? Listen, the Bible does talk about lifting up a shout unto God or lifting up your voice and praising God and all that stuff, but a blood-curdling, scary scream like off of a movie is not exactly what we're after too, honey. And I'm talking to her. This conversation goes on for about 20 minutes. And some of our people that are here now were when we first started are still here. And they cracked up in the earlier services when I talked about this. So because they remember it. And so we're sitting there and I'm having this conversation with this lady. And finally I said, I worked my way through it. And it seems like she's following with me. We're on the same page. And I said, so you understand that you blood-curdling screaming at the middle of the worship set is really odd and inappropriate, and we probably shouldn't do that because that distracts everything, right? You understand that, right? She's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, okay. You know, we're there, right? We're there? She's like, yeah, we're here, man. I get it. I totally get it. Good. All right, we're good to go. So we leave. Week goes by. Church, you are stronger. Pull her in. Okay, come on. Talk to me. First time I was nice. Now I'm a little bit more blunt. I'm like, let me explain. You're doing it again. What's the problem? Are you hurt? No. Are you okay? Yes. Okay, why are you screaming? Why are you screaming? Well, Here's the deal, Pastor. The Lord says, lift up a joyful noise. Okay, that's not joyful. That's not joyful. Nobody's happy. Everybody's mad and looking at you. All right? Well, the Holy Spirit, no, you can't get the Holy Spirit in this. The Holy Spirit's not disorderly. He's not crazy. He's not bipolar. He's not screaming at the top of his lungs. This ain't the Holy Spirit. This is you. All right? Seriously. So I said, listen, I said, you can't do that here. There are over 300 churches in this community. Go find you a screaming at the top of your lungs church. Because we don't belong. I'm just not doing that. You are wearing me out. Wearing me out. Out. It's either you go or I go, and I ain't going nowhere. All right, honey? She left, and I was happy. All right? But in light of that conversation, she kept saying, well, the Holy Spirit this, and the Holy Spirit said to do this. And she literally did this. She took her Bible, and the first week to the second week that I talked to her, she went through the entire book of Psalms and underlined it and highlighted every time it says, lift up a shout unto God. I told her, I said, I don't care what that says. What you're doing is out of order. That's crazy. That's not what it was talking about. I promise you, that's not what it's saying. You're distracting everybody. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. If you would have been at our church during that time period and talked to that lady, you would have been convinced that the Holy Spirit had convinced her to scream at the top of her lungs and act like a fool. Right? And how many of you know that's not God? All right? That's not God. That's not how God runs his business. Okay? So here's the deal. What'll happen is someone will have an experience like that, and they'll say, I love God, and I love God's people, and I love God's church, but I don't want nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Because if that's the way the Holy Spirit is, that's what I'm staying away from. I'm here to tell you that that's not the Holy Spirit. And please don't get a bad taste of the Holy Spirit in your mouth because of an incident where people are just crazy. Amen? Is that fair? All right, so check this out. Let me tell you about a little bit about the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives. First and foremost, look at this. Nevertheless, I tell you a truth, it is to your advantage, this is Jesus speaking, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, capitalized, everybody look at this, capitalized, which means it's a proper noun in the sentence, which means it is a name, the helper, helper. He, the Holy Spirit, is referred to as the helper, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Everybody check this out. How many of you believe, out of all the people that have ever graced the face of this planet, one of the most coolest, most awesomest people you could ever have on the planet is Jesus with you? Amen. I mean, come on, Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, y'all. And Jesus said, it's good that I go away, though. Because if I don't go, he, the helper, will not come to you. It's to your advantage. Jesus said, I'm cool, but he's cooler. It's to your advantage that I go away because he, the helper. See, I am limited. This is Jesus. I am limited because I can only help you 12. But if I lived in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, then I can help everyone. See, you got to understand, under the Old Testament, Jesus, or let me say it this way, the Holy Spirit could not live on the inside of people. He couldn't. He wanted to, but he couldn't. This is why in the Old Testament, he would come upon people, empower them to do something, but that was it. He couldn't live inside of them. Now watch, Jesus comes, dies. He dies for all of our sins, to wash away our sins, to cleanse us, right? Get this, before Jesus comes, even though man could observe the law, religion, to obey God, he didn't have sinless in his heart. He wasn't sinless. You got me? Jesus dies, takes away our sin, and now that taking away of our sin now provides a clean slate for the Holy Spirit to come and live inside. Because God, who is sinless, can't live in sinful beings. But now that the sin has been eradicated, now the Holy Spirit can live inside of us, and now we can live with the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And now he can help us be more like Christ and to obey God, right? That's the way it's supposed to work. He will come and help you and so on and so forth. But check this out. This is why the Bible says this. 1 John 4:4, I would memorize this if I was you. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Everybody say, we are greater than me. Yeah. He, the Holy Spirit inside of me, is greater than he who is in the world. And all I've got to do is partner with him in my life, and I can overcome the enemy in my life. Everybody get that? That's the way it's supposed to work. Look at John 6:44. It says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Who do you think draws you to the Lord? It's absolutely the Holy Spirit. I know I heard someone just say God, and God does draw us, but how? Who does the work? Well, let me explain it this way. I opened up our pool yesterday, and Michelle was exhausted from watching me. Who did the work? Come on, I did. I did. Now, in fairness, I'm using that as an illustration. She did help just as hard. I was assured of that this morning when I was telling her about my little joke here. But but on a serious note, I want you to begin to think of the Holy Spirit as the working agent in your life. I know we think, well, Jesus is going to lead me. Okay, but it's the Holy Spirit who does the work. It's the Holy Spirit who does it. You follow me? And that's why I compare it to Michelle and I. Michelle's the boss. I'm the labor. You know what I mean? She says, open pool. Pool's open. There's really no points in the middle. Here, so I want you to begin to think of the Holy Spirit like that. That the Father releases it, and now the Holy Spirit goes to work in it. You follow me? So whenever it comes to you doing anything in the earth for God or living your life, it's the Holy Spirit who's the working agent in your life right now. So let me ask you this. How important is the Holy Spirit in your life? Come on, talk to me. Oh, he's everything. He should be everything. He is everything. He's the one doing the work, praise God. Look at this, John 3:5. Jesus said this. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, well, praise God, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit. Did everybody see that? Water is natural birth in John 3:5. Water, natural birth. How many of y'all know you got here by water? You don't remember it, but you did. All right? And spirit, listen to this. Spirit, how many of you know that's capitalized? What's that mean? Holy Spirit, it's deity, it's a proper noun. Holy Spirit, that which is born of spirit is spirit. In other words, you had natural birth and now you have a spiritual birth. Guess who does that? The Holy Spirit is the one who makes you born again. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So get this. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born naturally of water and of the Spirit, and of the Spirit, and of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So you got to be born again. And who does the work? It's the Holy Spirit who regenerates you. Everybody look at me. You got born again because the Holy Spirit entered to your spirit and now came alive on the inside of you. That's how it worked. The Holy Spirit came on the inside of you and gave you new life. Zoe life. Redeemed life. Anybody remember Zoe? Redeemed life? The Holy Spirit's the one who brings that to you. All right? So now check this out. Let me show you how powerful and awesome the Holy Spirit is. Listen to this. But it is as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear is heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Anybody ever heard that verse before? I have. I even preached it at a funeral. And I preached it this way. Eye is not seen, nor ear is heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man the things that God loves, prepared for. In other words, we have no idea what God has for us. It's unfathomable how awesome God is and what he has for us in our life. Oh, and I preached it good. The only problem, it's not accurate. See, if you just read this verse alone, you think, well, God knows all these things and we don't know them and we couldn't possibly know more about God. Look at the next verse. But God has revealed them to us by his spirit. How does God want to show us what he has for us? His spirit. See, we are greater than me. Why? Because if it's just me, I'm limited. But when it's we, I'm unlimited. Because now I've tapped into the resource of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit now reveals to me things about my life, things about my personality, things about how I should live, things about how I shouldn't live. He reveals to me all the things pertaining to life. He really does. Without the Holy Spirit, I can't even see those things. Look at this. He says, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Notice, small s, which means what? It's not the Holy Spirit, it's your spirit, okay? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit, what is? Capitalized Holy Spirit of God. Look at next verse. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by who? By God. Freely given to us by God. Now listen, I to kind of put it in our world, think about it. You know, if you normally, I mean, except for the Bernie Sanders fans, you have a job. Get that later, Bernie, no job. Anyway, cracks me up watching the news. 27,000 people rallied at a Bernie Sanders convention. Yeah, no joke, because none of them work. All right, anyway. But anyway, sorry. That's my little political speech for today. But seriously, most of us who have jobs, not the Bernie Sanders fan, but have jobs. We understand that you have a job, you get a paycheck, but also there are things called your benefits, right? And a lot of times people even get a job just for the benefits, sometimes. But the truth of the matter is, get this, you as a child of God, you were bought and paid for by the Holy Spirit, and is the or by Jesus, suffering and dying on the cross. But it is the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the benefits of being a child of God. As a child of God, you don't have to walk in disorder. As a child of God, you don't have to walk in fear. As a child of God, you don't have to walk in chastisement. You can walk in peace. As a child of God, you can walk free. As a child, come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? As a child of God, why? Greater is he who's in us than he who is in the world. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us what we actually can walk in the freedom and the liberty that we have in Christ. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit is important in your life? Absolutely, absolutely. See, here's the truth. You ready? Write this down if you're taking notes. The Holy Spirit is the key to developing a God consciousness in everyday life. God wants you to have a God consciousness in your everyday life. Every day to have a God consciousness. And the Holy Spirit is the key to having that. He is the key. He is the one that whenever someone pulls out in front of you and you want to, you know, be friendly to them. He is the one that says, now. Calm down. He is the one that on a day-to-day basis, listen, the Holy Spirit is not limited to the church. The other night I was working on my boat. Two nights ago I was working on my boat and I was pulling the bearings out, changing out some bearings in my boat. As I was doing that, I reached the level, see, in Charlie Riley's world, here's Charlie Riley's world. I fix things. If I can't fix this in the amount of time that I think it should take to fix this, I'm going to break it. I'm going to break it good, so I got to buy a new one. All right, now, the piece of thing that I was working on happens to be real expensive, so I give it a little bit more time. So I'm working on this thing, and I'm about to lose it over this thing. I'd worked on it about an hour and a half. My back is getting sore. I'm bent over trying to work on this thing. And finally, I reached a point where I said, okay. And I really did. I can feel myself. I don't know if you guys can, but it's like Tabasco sauce in my toes. It works its way up. And then by the time I'm getting a bigger hammer and a bigger screwdriver, bam, all right, bam. And I'm about to go off on the, anybody know what I'm saying? You know, picking up what I'm putting down. So finally, I did this. I really did because I know the thing that I'm working on is expensive. So I backed up and I said, all right, Lord, you're going to have to help me because right about now I'm ready to break this thing and I can't break this thing. You're going to have to help me. You have to give me an idea how I can fix this thing. So I just sat there. I kind of let that Tabasco sauce go down to my toes again. And I just sat there for a second. And I'm like, all right, Lord, just give me an insight. I thought about it. I'm like, I ought to just take another screwdriver, grind it down really, really sharp, and see if I can get it under the edge of that bearing. Went over to the grinder, grinded a screwdriver, went back over there, punched it out. Took me like 5 minutes. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Now, my point is this. We oftentimes think of the Holy Spirit as only active in church. I'm here to tell you that developing a God consciousness in everyday life is what a relationship is all about. God consciousness in everyday life. In everyday life. God can help you with the littlest things to the biggest things. It doesn't matter. He's not limited. I know we limit him. We think, oh, I got this figured out. I can do this on my own. I don't need you, God. No, I ask that you would make God a part of everything that you're doing. Make him a part of everything you're doing, especially in times of frustration or irritation. But the bottom line is this. He wants to be in every aspect of your life in a practical way. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Most of the time, I think that the Holy Spirit gets this rap that he only deals with the mystical and crazy stuff. No. He is a practical guide. He is a practical helper. He is a practical teacher. He is a practical person who wants to teach me the things that pertain to my life. Amen? That means he can practically help you with your finances. That means he can practically help you with your relationships. He can practically help you with unforgiveness. He can practically help you practically. He can work it out practically in the here and now. Amen? That's what he'll do for your life, no doubt. So if you're taking notes, write these down. All right? I believe God can do some big things. You need to recognize these things about the Holy Spirit. Number one, he is the greatest gift to us that we could ever receive. He is the greatest gift humanity has ever received. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit as a gift, as a gift. Acts 2:38 says, if we repent, I'll just go there for a second. It says this, and Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Basically, the summarization of that top part of that verse, I know there are religious sects that build whole doctrines out of that verse. It was never intended to be so. Here's the truth. All this is saying is, get your heart right with God. If you'll get your heart right with God, what'll happen? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's a gift. In other words, you don't have to do certain things to have the Holy Spirit. What do? You put your faith in what Jesus did, the Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of you. That's as simple as it is. You believe, and then you receive. The Holy Spirit comes and lives deep down on the inside of you. Because here's the truth. You ready? Everybody look at me. Jesus saves, but it's the Holy Spirit who heals, delivers, works it out, sets you free, gets you moving in the right direction. It's the Holy Spirit who does the work. He's the work agent of God. Amen? Amen. All right. So listen to this. Number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. He is the one who guides us. In this life, he guides us. It is he who guides us. Look at John 16. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. Here's what it says. But when he, the Spirit of who? Truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. This is why a lot of the cults, false religions, deny the Holy Spirit. Most cults do not acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the reason is, the Holy Spirit is not in agreement with false religions. He is the Spirit of truth. Who comes, he will guide you into all truth. Do you think you need guidance in truth? Come on, I'll be honest with you. We live in such a culture now, you can't even tell. Without the Holy Spirit, there ain't no chance that you have on this planet of knowing what truth is. We live in such a deceived world, and it's multiplying worse by the day. Multiplying worse by the day. I didn't say it's getting worse by the day. I said it's multiplying worse by the day. Yeah, that means tomorrow's four times as worse as today. I'm amazed when you talk to people how deceived they are. Bernie Sanders. Free everything. Only thing that's free is salvation. And it ain't free. Jesus paid for it. If you're a Bernie Sanders fan, I'm sorry, I'm beating you up today. We got to move on. That just wears me out. All right. For I got to stop because I want to go there. I was like, I had free college too. It was called United States Air Force. Anyway, all right, here we go. For he will not speak of his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. Did y'all get that? He will hear whatever he hears from the Father. Look at this next verse. He will give the message that he has been given to him, and he will announce it and declare it to you. How many of you want the Lord leading your life? Then the Bible says that the Lord God will speak to the Holy Spirit on what you need to be doing. So how important is it for the Holy Spirit in your life? He's everything. And declared to you the things which are to come and that will happen in the future. Look at this. And he will honor and glorify me because he will take of what I've received, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal it, declare it, disclose it, transmit it into you. Who will do that? The Holy Spirit. See, we is greater than me, because when we get together, the Holy Spirit and I, then he will glorify and honor me. That's why sometimes at the church, if there is someone who takes away or distracts from Jesus, they're out of order. And like I said, there's been abuse of that in the past, and maybe church backgrounds where you come from. People are like, oh no, they just got the Spirit of God. Yeah, but they're distracting everybody. They're out of order. Why? Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will always give honor and glory to Jesus. In other words, when the honor moves from Jesus to a person, it's out of order. Amen? Amen. So we got to always make sure it stays in its proper place, because the Holy Spirit will never do anything that draws away from Jesus, but rather he will magnify Jesus. He won't, think about it. The Holy Spirit doesn't even come to magnify himself. He doesn't show up and say, hey, I opened the pool. He doesn't even do that. He says, she opened the pool. You guys get that later. No, but that's what the Holy Spirit does. If Michelle is Jesus and I'm the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will point to Michelle. She gets all the glory. Wow, it's messed up. But anyway, all right. No, I'm just kidding. You get the analogy though? You get the analogy of what I'm trying to say? All right, praise God. All right, number three, you ready? Write this down. He empowers us. He absolutely empowers us to live for God. Absolutely. He is absolutely the power source of our life. You shall receive, this is Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when what? The Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on in your life. He wants to have, now I know a lot of times whenever we read this, we oftentimes think about tongues, prophecy, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I will tell you the truth. I speak in tongues. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I operate and flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You are in a church that absolutely believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As long as they don't begin to glorify people and they glorify Jesus. Amen? We want everything done decent and in order. Absolutely. But here's the truth of the matter. The power of the Holy Spirit is not just about tongues, prophecy, and all that stuff. The gift and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives works out in so many other areas. For example, whenever I first got saved, most of you know this, I had a terrible problem with my tongue. I was in a military culture, which means you can cuss and you can cuss good. Good at it, all right? You got good at it, praise God. It flowed like a river. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Until I get saved. Then I get saved, and guess what? It's still flowing like a river, and I'm getting mad trying to witness to people about Jesus. How many of you know now there is a problem? I'm cussing folks out trying to get them to give their heart to Christ. That's not a good plan, y'all. I didn't win one soul to Jesus, even though I had great zeal. All right? Here's what happened. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, there is a conflict between my mouth and my life. You're going to have to help me. Holy Spirit, take control of my tongue. take over. And that's actually how I ended up getting Spirit-filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues, because I thought, Lord, I've got to yield my tongue to you because I obviously can't control it. Because listen, we is greater than me. Me can't control me. No more. So I need we. And when we got a hold of it, we changed. But I couldn't do it as long as it was me. See, there are things in your life you can't change without God. You can't. You wish you could. You even hope you can, but you can't because you don't have we. How do you get we to work in your life? You yield. You say, God, take control of my tongue. Take control of my temper. Take control of my alcoholism. Take control of my mouth. Take control. Lord, take control. As you yield to God, God's power flows into your life. When you have a yielding heart, then God can flow through it. As long as you resist it, though, God can't flow through it. I've never seen God move in anyone's life who said, no, I don't want you to, God. God doesn't slap people around. It's not like mafia. You know, he slaps around and says, come on, you want this. You just don't know it. No, the way God works is he waits on you to yield. And at the point that you yield, he moves in. And when he moves in, he changes it all. But he won't do it as long as you're resisting him. As soon as you yield, he takes over. As soon as he takes over, he'll help set you free. I didn't say it happens overnight. He'll begin the process of setting you free. There are some things, it's amazing how God works. There are some things about God, as I yield to him in certain areas of my life, he breaks it off immediately. Certain things in my life, I've said, Lord, take this. Bam, it's gone. I don't even think about it no more. And then there are other things where I'm like, Lord, take this from me, and I have to work out the process of getting that thing off of me. Come on, anybody hear what I'm saying? It's a process, all right? So there are some things that change instantly. Some things take a process, all right? So here's the truth. Here, look at this. This is a prime example of this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Everybody look at this. The word Spirit there is what? Capitalized, which means it's the Holy Spirit, all right? So the fruit, the thing that grows out of me, not because I'm an apple tree, I'm an apple tree, I'm an apple tree, grow apples. That's not the way fruit grows, y'all. Fruit grows because what's inside comes out, right? Listen, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, then these fruits should be growing out of your life. And those fruit grow out of your life, and they hang on the outside of your life so that other people can see your life. Amen? Look at this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Look at this. Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Everybody get that? Now let me show you something here that you maybe never thought of before. Watch this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you recognize it's the Holy Spirit that allows these things to operate in your life? Okay, now watch. But the fruit of, without the Holy Spirit, is a perverted love. Fruit without the Spirit of God is a perverted joy. Fruit without the Spirit is a perverted peace. Fruit without the Spirit is a perverted long-suffering. This is why you can get people who don't have the Spirit of God might try and tell you what love is. I've had so many encounters with this. It's so funny. It's like, Pastor Charlie, you just love people. You're not to speak out against people's lifestyle. You're not to speak out against people's sin. You're not to speak out against this. You're not to speak. You're supposed to tolerate and just love those people. I say, time out. My dad was 57 years old, died of a drug overdose. For 5 months, he lived in my home. We tried to get him off of drugs. We did for 5 months. All right? I told my dad drugs were going to kill him, not because I hated him, but because I loved him. In other words, my love provoked me to speak out because what was in his life was limited, limiting him, destroying him, and cursing the family as a whole because of what he was in. That's not hate. That's love. I loved him. I wanted the best for him. Come on, talk to me. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So, but watch. But when people say love without the Spirit of God, it's perverted. It's twisted. It's all backwards. That's why in our culture you have things like hate speech when really it's love speech. Hey, listen, you shouldn't do that. Why? That's dangerous for you. That's terrible for you. That limits God's plan in your life. That's going to destroy your life. Don't you get it? That's bad. Or you just hate us. No, kind of like you. I wish I hated you. So I could say, man, go do what you want, idiot. Go on, anybody hear what I'm saying? But because I love you, I got to tell you what you're doing is wrong and it's destroying your life and it's limiting God's power in your life. Don't you want more of God? See what I'm saying? When we get it right, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. It goes on, you know. Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. When we allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide our lives, and we allow the Spirit of God to show us what true love is, show us what these things are, our lives can be productive. Our lives can live up to what God expects out of us. Amen? But listen, we can't do it if we're not going to live and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. So check this out. These are some things that I wrote down just real quick here as far as things that the Holy Spirit helps us do. He helps us become a child of God. Did y'all hear that? He helps us, okay? He helps us. He helps us, gives us the power to choose. Do you know before you're saved, you don't have the power to choose? I know most of the time, here's how I thought about it. Before I got saved, I thought of it this way. Man, if I get saved, I ain't going to be able to have fun. Ain't going to be no more clubbing. Ain't going to be no fun. I like having the freedom of choice. Yeah. I gave my heart to Christ, and then it was after I gave my heart to Christ that I'm like, wow, now I have the power to choose right and choose wrong. Before, I would only choose wrong all the time. And then I wondered why my life wasn't going anywhere. Now I choose right, and because I have the power to choose right, there's joy, there's peace, there's all these things in my life. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's pretty powerful, pretty powerful. We don't have the power to choose. That's why I say it this way. Jesus saves, but the Holy Spirit is the one who cleanses us, right? Listen, we have people from all different backgrounds in our church. They struggle with all kinds of different things. Everything under the sun is represented in our church. But I tell people, don't worry about those things. Don't worry about where you're at. I don't care if it's fear, depression, homosexuality, drugs, alcoholism, whatever. I don't care about any of that. What I want you to do is grow your relationship with God, and God will clean you. God will take care of those things. God will speak to you. And when God speaks to you, it'll free you. It'll free you. It'll free you. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to read and understand the Bible. You believe that? Yeah. Power to change our heart. Power to believe the truth. Power to resist temptation. Power to serve others. Power, look at this. Power to endure suffering and hardship. Power to receive eternal life. We can't even receive eternal life without the Holy Spirit. So how important is the Holy Spirit in our lives? Man, he's everything. He's everything. He's everything. He's everything. Here's the deal, though. This is not about how much power does God have? This is how much will we yield to him. How much will we yield to him? That's what it's really all about. How much will we yield to him? Some of you, you yield just enough to make you feel like, okay, I'm saved. And that's okay. I'm not beating you up for that. But I tell you, you're robbing yourself. You're really robbing yourself of what God wants to do in your life. Some of you have yielded to the point where you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You speak in tongues and you do all those things. And that's great, man. Yield as much as you want. I've always been of the opinion of this. Everything God has, I want it. I'm going to yield as much as I can to the best of my ability for God to take over. And God will take over. Amen? Amen.